We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You're listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports, episode 176. I'm the guy that never misses our 30-second time mark, even though I almost did. That means nothing to nobody. I'm Morgan. That means something to somebody. And the guy that means everything to everyone, Mr. Austin. How the fuck is it going, buddy?
Yeah, it's going. It is raining like a motherfucker over here. We got what they like to call an atmospheric river.
BC knows it's December, right?
Yeah, that's the rainy season over here.
Awkward.
And, yeah, I just been working. We've been giving each other presents every day, Megan and I, so that's been fun.
Any nice scores? I mean, that's not what it's all about, but
well, still,
any nice scores?
Yes. So far, I have received a kilogram of peanuts.
Oh, I thought you were going a whole different route there.
Okay. Well, I didn't. And then a nice pair of like outdoor kind of hiking boots.
Ooh. Want to do some hiking?
I guess now I have to. And then we each got each other on the first day. We got each other an admin calendar as well, so we could have chocolates every day.
I was just about to ask if it was just a regular advent calendar or some of the specialty ones that are starting to come out.
There is some cool ones out there. I got Megan a Hershey's Kisses one.
Nice.
And she got me a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup one, which is perfect for me.
There you go. That I would not enjoy having that because it would be torture for me every day because I don't like Reese's Pieces.
Well, first of all, you're just simply wrong for having that opinion.
The chocolate and peanut butter ratio is too whack.
It's fine.
No, but you are right. There is some interesting advent calendars out there. There's a D&D dice one that I want.
There's like, I'm pretty sure my father-in-law got a craft beer one last year.
Yeah, my stepdad gets, my mom started to get him that a few years ago, and now he gets it yearly.
Yeah, it just turned into a yearly tradition.
Yeah, but he's like a beer fanatic type guy, so.
There, so is my father-in-law.
Fair enough. Well, this is where you ask me what I've been up to, Austin. No? You're not going to ask? All right.
What have you been up to, buddy?
Not too much, really.
Okay. Good talk.
No, really not that much. I've just been working, playing some dodgeball. We have some playoffs coming up, and I managed to make the dodgeball roster or the playoff roster. So, I mean, it's rec league, so that doesn't really say much. But
I mean, fair.
The captain picked me. So, anyways, it does feel kind of nice to feel wanted, be one of the better players on the team. So,
of course, it does.
What else have I been up to? Not a whole lot. Hunting was a complete bust.
Oh, no.
Didn't turn out the way I was hoping so, but whatever. I still have a shit ton of meat from last year, so I don't have to, once again, don't have to pay those insane meat prices that you find at the grocery stores nowadays. So
true.
That's always a bonus. Cause hell, even though I didn't get anything, my tag only cost me $65. So
right.
It's not the end of the world. But other than that, there's actually some pretty big sport news that I wouldn't mind getting to. But before all that happens, Sir Austin, Mr. Austin, the Austinator.
Okay, you got to stop. So first things first, you're going to follow us. Well, actually, you're going to give us a great rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Only the best. You
listen. Download, review, comment wherever you can. Let us know how you feel about the show at Twitter, on Twitter at TSWGSPod, on TikTok at TSWGSPod.
Quickly before Austin dies, he's losing.
I said I was going to make a TikTok, but I did not. So
I told you you wouldn't.
You did. You were right. And then you got some plugs as well, I think.
Yeah, I kept them working too.
All right.
Keep it short. Keep it simple. That's what the fans like, my friend.
That's what... Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, I realize that both me and Austin, we are a bunch of liars. He doesn't make the TikToks. And I don't stick to my word being like, oh, I'm going to keep NHL first because there's more news, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm also correct because some stuff happened, which I predicted would have. So we'll get there when the time comes. But before that, we're actually starting off with some CFL news. That was a great transition, my friend Austin. It's flawless. I don't know why I'm doing this right now. The Blue Bombers.
Like the podcast? Or
we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
The Blue Bombers, they ended up making, well, not making, but, well, yeah, making decision on their whole GM situation. And that solidified the head coach situation, all that with Mike O'Shea and the whole deal. They extended their GM, Kyle Walters, who was going to be a free agent, if you will, coming up here soon. But he got extended for 2 more years. So did Michael Shea. I really don't have too much to say, except for it's pretty clear that they're going to they want to keep the band together because I believe they're hosting the Grey Cup in 2025.
Okay.
So they really want to be there and give it all they got. Although I've also been hearing rumors that we might be hearing about some very couple key players retiring or leaving the organization.
Damn, okay.
Because, well, they're just getting old. Trying to think of the one lineman right now. I can't think of his name right now. Sleeping in my brain. Yep, no, it's gone. Okay. But I believe he's like 37 years old, so he's getting up and there in age as far as football goes. And then
yeah, especially for football.
Especially old linemen.
Yeah.
And then there's Brady Oliveira, who had an insane year. There's some rumors out there that he might be trying down south a little bit.
Okay.
But even if he doesn't, he's going to want to pay a raise. And Winnipeg has some pretty big names already signed, and I'm not too sure if they'll be able to afford him. Right. I wouldn't complain if he came over to the Riders and played for the Riders. I'm just saying. I would not be all opposed to that. But
I'm sure you wouldn't.
Speaking of the Riders, though, they officially named on Thursday, after last week's episode, the Big Owies episode.
Big Owies.
They signed their new head coach, Corey Mace. I'm not sure on the exact length. I believe it's the same as Jeremy O'Day, who's the GM for the Riders, which is 3 years. It would make sense for their contracts to align, at least for length, that way.
Yeah,
but yes, little info about Corey Mace. He was the D lineman for Calgary. Back in 2016, I think he won the... Oh, in 2014, he won the Grey Cup as a player. And then 2015, he won the Grey Cup as a D-line coach. And in 2018, he won the Grey Cup in Toronto as he retired in 2014. Nope, I said it right the first time.
Oh my God.
He's won 3 Grey Cups, 2 with Calgary, 1 with Toronto.
I swear we've done this before, folks.
Yeah, 175 times previously, but...
You would think.
I'm a wreck right now. Oh, well. We're moving along. And then last year, he didn't win the Grey Cup with Toronto, although they had a stellar defense, and... they went 16-2. So he is a rookie head coach. So I know Rough Rider fans won't, because they never do. But we all have to give the team time. We can't expect them to go next year and necessarily win the Grey Cup. Yes, Montreal did it this year with the new quarterback and new head coach. But that doesn't happen very often. That's a one-off.
Right.
But no, I listened to the press conference with Corey Mace. And just from listening to him speak, made me want to get up and run through a wall for him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he's straight up what you would call the alpha male. And
rallying the troops.
Yeah, and he is exactly the type of guy that the Riders organization needs. They need someone to kick them in the butt. You know, if you fuck up, then you're not playing, that type of stuff. And yeah, I'm excited. Now we just have to sit and wait, and probably in the next week or two, we're going to find out who the OC is. We have yet to hear if he's going to do dual duties. I hope not. I hope he finds a DC, and he can just focus on a head coach, especially being a rookie head coach. He just want to double dip. I sure hope not.
I thought I saw something about him being head coach in DC. Or no?
As far as I know, he's just the head coach.
Wait, is that like the new guy for the Riders?
Yes. Okay. He used to be the DC in Toronto.
Right. But Yeah, I thought I saw something about him doing both. I could be wrong. It's very possible.
I could also be wrong. They didn't mention anything in the press conference or anything like that, so.
Or is it, maybe I saw somebody saying he might do both as he has experience as the.
Yeah, but I really hope he doesn't. Although.
That's fair.
With the new, well, not new, but with the management cap and whatnot. The organizations are a little more tempted to save money that way.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, there's rumors that the OC is going to be, what's his first name? Rick Mueller? I think his first name is Rick. Anyways, he's the grandson of Ron Lancaster.
Oh, wow.
Right now, he's the quarterback's coach, I believe, in Calgary. So okay. He might become, and he knows Corey Mace really well as well. So he might become the OC for the Riders. So we'll wait and see on that. Yeah, and it's also really cool because Corey Mason's press conference said that he was growing up, he grew up as a Rider fan, and yeah, he's been wanting to be here all this entire time. He's from Vancouver, so he's Canadian.
Right.
That's 37 years old. There's players on the team that are older than him, which is, I find absolutely hilarious.
That is hilarious.
But younger coach, rookie head coach. I mean, more power to him, and I really hope it works out, but I will give him time to, there's going to be bumps and bruises. It's not going to work out.
Was it again? Time will tell.
So the CFL.
No, but hear me out here. So yes, it is. I do like the idea of a new head coach. It's, I feel like in a lot of leagues they kind of just recycle the same guys a lot of the time, and it's nice to see. I know he was already coordinator, but
well, you have to say a lot. You can't just jump right into a head coach like that. You have to grow and stuff first. So yeah, totally. It makes sense that he was a DC or. First, and then eventually, you know.
But, like, good for him making the jump. Hopefully it turns out well.
Yeah. No, you are right, though. It is a breath of fresh air. You see this in both sports, especially hockey, where...
Oh, God.
It's just a recycle of coach after coach, and...
Like, bringing a fucking new voice for once.
Yeah, a little bit of youth as well. Someone with, like...
Right, like, I want a 25-year-old coach.
I want, like, a 15-year-old prodigy as the head coach.
If my coach has hit puberty, he's too old.
My coach isn't wearing diapers. I can go either way. It's too old.
Jesus. Yeah, that's true.
So this might make you a little excited, Austin.
I doubt it.
It might. It might give you a reason
to live.
It might give you a reason to show some of your island folks over there a CFL game.
Oh, yes.
And that's because the BC Lions and the Ottawa Red Blacks are playing, I believe, on the Saturday of Labor Day weekend in Victoria. Although it's apparently the stadium there is only going to hold about 15,000 people, so not many.
Yeah, Victoria is definitely not set up for like the massive events like that. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing. Is it regular season, you said?
Yeah, it's the Labor Day weekend.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So
it actually kicks off the Labor Day weekend. This is the first game.
Oh, that's cool. That'll be neat. I dig it. Not a ton of events come to the island.
It's the Lamford Starlight Stadium. I honestly don't really know
too Langford? Much.
Lamford Starlight Stadium.
Lamford. Yeah. Okay, I don't even think I know the name. That's weird. Anyway, but yeah, not much comes to Victoria, so it's kind of cool that that is happening. And yeah, I don't know. They're probably going to, I can guarantee there'll be Riders jerseys there.
Yeah, like I said, there's only going to be about 15,000 or so seats available, so you know the BC Lions season ticket holders are going to scoop up a lot of those right off the bat. It's not going to be like your Touchdown Atlantic, where that's set up more for expanding CFL across, you know, Canada type deal.
Right.
This is more trying to build football in BC again. Like the Grey Cup's going to be in BC this year, which I might try and figure out a way to get there. I'm not going to lie. It'd be kind of nice watching a Grey Cup game in an indoor stadium.
Yeah, right? With the fucking, you're not frozen to the seat.
I can show up there naked if I want to.
I don't think you can.
Watch.
I'm pretty sure there are rules against that.
Body paint.
Damn it. Loopholes.
No, but all just honesty, though, this is, to me, it seems like this is going to be big for Victoria, bring some money to the island and all that deal. And
well, and especially you are 100% correct, because especially after COVID, like Victoria and the island is very tourist heavy. The economy is very funded by tourists, and COVID obviously shut that down a lot. So yeah, it should definitely be a decent influx of cash for sure.
And I don't know, there's, you live amongst some people that I think have, I mean, they have, you guys have, it's not like there's no CFL football in BC, so,
but you know, it definitely is, just not on the island.
Yeah, and if some people have never left the island, which you don't necessarily have to, they might never have seen CFL football before, so.
I mean, oh, you mean like in person?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, there is TVs on the
island. Yeah, I know TVs exist. You guys aren't like a bunch of fucking, I don't know.
Well, we might be.
That's good. I don't know. Anywho, it's good news. Yeah, try out different markets. Maybe it's a huge success. And I mean, I don't think Victoria's big enough to necessarily hold a CFL team full time.
I'm right there with you. I don't think that. I don't think so.
I also think the whole Maritimes thing might be dead in the water as well. Possibly Quebec City is the next location that they're looking at for.
I will expansion. Like just imagine the travel, right, from like from fucking Vancouver to Halifax.
Yes, I've heard that argument multiple times, but you only have to do that once at the most.
I mean, you're not, well, and that's the thing too, right? You are correct, because at least like NHL, you'll play them team like a few times and it's like, okay, that's a little ridiculous. But you are right, with football at least it's one game. But so,
hell, maybe you guys could have a neutral site meet somewhere in the middle.
Well, that's
meet at Saskatoon. There you go. Yeah.
Just have all the extra football in Saskatoon as well.
I wouldn't complain.
Where would they play in Saskatoon?
Griffith Stadium.
Oh, yeah, that works. All right, well, there you go.
That's it for CFL news.
Is it?
Yeah, my friend.
Is it my time to shine?
Yeah, and we got some spicy NHL news, I guess you could call it. I don't know why I call it spicy, but some interesting news, at least.
Yeah, so, okay. We got to start with the biggest story, right?
Yeah.
It's, so Corey Perry all of a sudden is away from the team. Everyone's confused. And then, because the internet is a bad, mean place, a very nasty rumor started and was spread very quickly. I didn't 100% believe it, but there was definitely, I probably was 50-50 because it's not out of character for hockey players to be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like philanderers, cheaters, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's not out of character for a lot of them. However, I guess I should be a little bit more specific. So the Corey Perry, and the rumor was, it was a very big rumor. It's we've now got heard from multiple people that it has nothing to do with this, but the rumor was Corey Perry slept with Connor Bedard's mom. And honestly, like, even just saying that out loud, it does feel a little childish.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, you know, the fucking veteran on the team slept with his, you know. So multiple parties have come out and said that's not true. And also, realistically speaking, I don't think that's a reason to be kicked off a team.
If it did happen, and if it was both, you know, the mom and the Corey Perry, both, you know, is sensual and consensual, or whatever the word I'm looking for.
Well, sensual is a different word, very different word.
If they both said, yep, let's do this, they're adults.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing, like, you can't, as an organization, you can't fire somebody for, especially if it's not somebody that's even with the team. Like, it, but that was the rumor. And it's come out now that that is not true. From many sides, that is not true.
It took quite the convincing, the holy crap.
Well, and it did too. And I will say, because I do want to throw it out there, but like, props to the Blackhawks, because as much as everyone's like, oh, it took time, they didn't cover it up for fucking years, like the last kind of shit they pulled. Now, I'm not saying this is an equivalent situation, but I think it does show improvement in the Blackhawks organization to be like, hey, we are going to actually address shit when it happens and figure shit out. It doesn't necessarily mean that the public is going to be in on it 100%, but it means that they are actually, you know, calling shit out. And I want to read, Corey Perry made released a written statement.
And this is basically the statement that was like, okay, the rumor was just a rumor.
Exactly. I would like to sincerely apologize to the entire Chicago Blackhawks organization, including ownership, management, coaches, trainers, employees, and my teammates. I would also like to apologize to my fans and my family. I'm embarrassed and I have let you all down. As a result of my actions, there has been speculation and rumors. I am sickened by the impact this has had on others, and I want to make it clear that in no way did this situation involve any of my teammates or their families. Most importantly, I want to directly apologize to those who have been negatively affected, and I am sorry for the additional impact to others it has created. My behavior was inappropriate and wrong. I have started working with experts in the mental health and substance abuse fields to discuss my struggles with alcohol, and I will take whatever steps necessary to ensure this never happens again. I hope to regain the trust and respect of everyone who has believed in me throughout my career. Once again, I am deeply sorry. So I read that and I hear Buddy got really drunk at a staff event, because that's what has come out now too, is that it did take place at like a staff event with sponsors and everything that were there, and Buddy got really drunk, made an ass of himself, probably did something real stupid.
We don't know exactly little detail, but
we sure don't, but I think we know enough to be like, okay, a player did something not okay, and alcohol was involved, and they were punished for it. And good for Corey Perry to enter the players' assistance program or whatever it is. Because drinking is brutal. It's it can really, like, alcohol can cause a lot of problems. It causes a lot more problems than it fixes. Let's put it that way.
Sure can, that's for sure.
And and that's another thing, right? And a lot of hockey players are known for is quote unquote partying, which involves everything from booze, coke, you name it, right? So I'm not saying that's what happened tonight with this incident, but I will say a lot of hockey players do cocaine.
Sure seems that way. Yep.
That's the thing, right? And this is a little cheat sheet for anybody listening. If you are listening to like TSN, Sportsnet, ESPN, whatever the hell, and they're talking about a player, and they're talking about how the player is known to party, that means cocaine.
Yep.
It's I don't know why they chose that to be that, but that's what that means. So if you ever hear like Elliot Freeman being like, he's you know, a bit of a partier, he's into that booger sugar. And a big reason for it, right? A lot of athletes, if they do drugs, they do like coke, is because it's, you know, it's out of your system pretty quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one that is aggressively terrible for your heart. And you would think like players that at their top or they're at the top of their physical game, they're going to do coke. Like,
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes the smelling salts isn't enough to,
well,
get you.
That's a different kind of smelling salt.
I know it is, but yeah.
We're losing the track here.
So all honesty though, I hope Corey Perry can get his life back on track. I'd really hate to see him go out this way. But with his age and stuff, if I'm being honest, it might be. But again, hockey is not nearly as important as the person himself. So fingers crossed. And as much as I, as a, you know, Calgary Flames fan, sometimes I might not be the, you know, Corey Perry isn't my most favorite person.
I hate Corey Perry on the ice.
But off the ice, I don't hope anything bad for him. So,
yeah. Well, and I tweeted about this, honestly, the other day, even before I think a lot of the particulars came out on the situation. And I said, like, this might be the last that we see of Corey Perry in this league. I wouldn't be surprised. Because like you said, he's 20-year veteran. Like, dude, it's, you did it. You won a cup. multiple, I believe. Or no, he's been missing out on all the waitlist ones, right? But he won.
Yeah, he's been trying to chase that cup.
He won one in Anaheim, and he's made tons of money. Solid career. Like, focus on your life. Focus on your family. Focus on yourself. Because he's like almost 40. There's a lot of life left to live, and it's not all going to be in the NHL. And nope. For a guy like him, like, I don't see him transitioning to like ESPN broadcast or TSN panel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't even picture him being a coach or anything like that. He's a great player and stuff, but
I think his style of play is very specific. And honestly, like, just take the money and run, you know?
Mm-hmm. But with how he parties, maybe he doesn't have so much money left.
Well, that's how rumors get started.
I'm sorry. Let's move on to something that we know is definitely no rumors.
No rumors here. Patrick Kane.
Boy, do we feel stupid now, Austin.
Boy, do we, hey? Honestly, I still don't. And hear me out. I'll explain after. But Patrick Kane has signed a one-year deal with the Detroit Red Wings.
You know, that cup contender? I mean, they're actually not doing bad right
now. They're not doing bad, but I don't think this is the team yet that's built for a cup run.
No.
Although this time last year, I definitely would have told you the same thing about Florida.
True.
And that's the thing, right? Florida proved that if you get hot, red hot at the right time, buddy, who knows?
Hell, everyone keeps going back to the Blues. They were in last place at the trade deadline. See,
okay. A lot of people keep bringing that up, and I thank you for doing it because I am sick of it.
Me too, but it's true.
The reason people talk about that is because the rarity, the absolute ridiculousness. Oh, yeah. It's not like, oh, that's the new standard. Like, oh, we're going to be the new St. Louis. We'll just suck and then we'll be good and win the cup. Like, that's not how this works.
But it does show you can never count a team out, though.
But guess what? We're talking about Patrick Kane.
We are.
So he signed a one-year deal. It's prorated at 2.75. He's going to make a shade over $2 million for the rest of the season. Too much for sure. Although we could look really dumb and watch him come back and just be like vintage Patrick Kane, especially playing with DeBrincat in Detroit. I'm very excited to see that because last time DeBrincat scored 40 goals, he was playing with Patrick Kane in Chicago. And Patrick Kane can still pass. DeBrincat could definitely score, as we've seen early on with Detroit. So I see this being... This could be a really good value signing, honestly. I'm coming around on it a little bit.
I have a question for you.
What's up?
Him demanding his number 88 back, what do you think of that?
I don't think it's a demand. And even so, it's come out
now. I guess, yeah, demand is not maybe the right term.
The player that was wearing 88 for Detroit, Daniel Sprong, in an interview was like, dude's one of the best American players to ever play. Like, he can have the number.
Yeah.
He was very, like, it's cool. Like, I get it. He is number 88. I'm not number 88. I'm just, you know, I'm a guy. He's just a dude, you know? Just dudes being guys.
Dudes being guys.
Just dudes being guys.
That's got to be the title.
Just dudes being guys? Okay, yeah. I'm going to message that to you right now.
So perfect. You guys all are hearing this live on the podcast.
Well, they'll already see the title, but
yeah, but still, this is how it's made, my folks.
We got some more signings.
Do we?
Or re-signings.
Yeah, a couple big ones. One actually that like dropped today. I don't know if you're talking about that right now or not, but
I'm talking about some stuff. So the Montreal Canadiens have re-signed their goalie Sam Montembeau to a 3-year extension at $3.15 million. And honestly, it's a tidy bit of work. He's been a decent option, but $3.1 million for basically like half starter is not terrible.
No, I'm actually all for this type of contract. He's been decent, so give him a little bit of bump, I guess, if you will, and see what he can do.
Exactly. I don't really know. Like, Montreal is still not great, I don't think.
No, but they do have those the three goalie situation right now.
Yeah, right. They're 10-11-3. Honestly, they're not too terrible. They're only 2 points back of Tampa Bay, and they have a game in hand.
Yeah, they're one of the surprising teams in my mind this year.
They are on a 2-game losing streak, though.
Yeah, shit happened.
Tampa's on a 4-game losing. They have not been good this year, dude.
No, they haven't.
Minus 10. Sorry, I'm just looking at stats now.
Oh, we gotta love the stats, my friend.
I always get distracted.
But no, I think this is good all around for both the goalie and the team. See if you can crack that full on starter job and try and get a raise in 3 years.
Yeah. Definitely 100%. We got another signing.
Signings for days, my guy.
Signings for days. Another re-signing. An extension. The Winnipeg Jets have re-signed Nino Niederreiter to a 3-year extension, the same length as Sam Montembeau. But he's making a little bit more. He's making a little bit more, $4 million a season. But he's also making $4 million currently. So no raise, just extended a couple years.
Yeah.
I think that's actually kind of rare, but I like the move.
That is kind of rare, but he is 31 years old, so yes. I kind of get where they're coming from. I think at this point, he's probably very happy with just getting a few more years. I mean, neither like the team nor him, his body could crap out in 2 years.
Oh, totally. But he's still getting paid.
Yeah, so I'm all for this extension. Just, you know, a couple years here once you get up to this type of age. And I would say he's still worth $4 million a season. So. As much as I hate the Jets, but.
Yeah, do you have anything more on this or?
I really wish I did because I was going to say I really didn't want to talk about the next thing, but I'm not opposed to it.
Okay, well, you did put it on the agenda, so
I did.
Sadly, the Vancouver Canucks have made a trade, folks, and not only have they made a trade, they've made a trade with the Calgary Flames,
best team in the NHL. What?
That's weird. I just checked the standings. They don't seem to be the best team in the league.
They are, but they aren't.
They are in your heart.
Yeah.
The Vancouver Canucks have acquired a Russian fella by the name of Nikita Zadorov from the Calgary Flames for a 5th-round pick in this coming draft. Now, that 5th-round pick is from Chicago, so it'll Thank definitely God. Be a better pick. But it is still a 5th-round pick, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, realistically, the difference between, like, the middle of the 5th round and the top of the 5th round is not that big. But they also got a 3rd-round pick in 2026. Now, I'll kind of say my perspective from the Canucks side, and then you can say your perspective from the Flames side.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Canucks pick up a guy who is big, can hit, is definitely has some nastiness, or can have. when needed. And I think especially in playoffs, that can definitely come in handy. Can definitely score, right? I think you said, what did he have last year? Like 14 goals?
14 goals, including a hat trick.
Yeah. So we don't even need that, right? Because like I said, we got guys like Quinn Hughes and Hronek. And, but hey, I'll take it, you know? And also, Canucks didn't have to give up a ton, right? A couple draft picks later round, like third and later. I like the move for sure. Definitely a big part of why the return wasn't as big as some people thought it would be is because the Flames didn't have to retain.
Yes.
So the Canucks did take the full contract, and he is also a free agent. So there's no guarantee he resigns.
In my mind, go ahead.
Oh, good.
Nope. I was just going to say the whole thing about the contract is that's almost a bigger giveaway than getting the draft picks and stuff is nice, but the fact that the Flames didn't have to retain any of the contract is huge. Like Corey Perry, Craig Conroy was saying, and that was the big thing for them. Like there was a few other offers out there, willing to give up maybe extra draft pick or whatever, but they didn't want the full salary. So, and Calgary wasn't for this. But I also want to say, I guess I'm talking about the Calgary's point of view now. More power to the Calgary's organization to not just forcing this trade, because it was about a month ago when Zadorov actually requested the trade. He did request it for not getting enough playing time. I do believe first game of Canucks, he was on the third D line, which he was not happy with Calgary. But I mean, on the Calgary side, we have Anderson, Uyghur, Hanifin, and Tanev. It's really hard to break that core four up.
Top four, yeah.
It frees up some cap space, which they might be able to use towards some re-signings themselves for particular, Hanifin or Lindholm or Tanev.
There's a lot of talk of most of those guys just aren't going to be back either by trade or free agency.
Well, depending what I would be okay with Lindholm going. He hasn't really ever since. Yeah, he hasn't really impressed me that much. Even when he had his career year, well, I can't speak. It was all because of Goodrow and Tkachuk in my mind. But I really, out of those three players, I really want to keep Tanev. He's exactly what the Flames need.
Fair. He's excellent.
I'm
not gonna lie.
Also, I do, since it's just on the top of my mind, I didn't put this in here, but a couple of things about the Flames and their defense after this trade is that Oliver Shillington is officially skating back with the team. He's been out for...
Yeah, I saw that.
...all last season. Another one of those players that, took his time mentally, and he's going through some things, and so it's, they said there's no timeline for him to actually get back playing or anything like that. He's just skating and stuff like that,
right?
Also, I'm trying to find his name right now, but the Calgary Flames also signed I don't recognize this name at all, but Mark Pizivic, Pysyk. He's now Calgary Flames for
Mark Pesek.
Minimum deal, the 775 or whatever it is. 3-year deal. It's a little bit of defense depth, which I'm not going to argue since we just traded a player. So, yeah, that's all I got on this whole. Sorry?
Can you hear the rain?
Maybe.
Maybe? Okay. Decided to record in the weather.
You're now a weather reporter.
Yeah. Ollie, it's raining. Wait.
I think I do hear it a little bit.
Okay. Well, I do apologize.
It's not loud. It just sounds like a vent on.
Okay. Well, so the next story we got Connor Bedard has set a Blackhawks record.
I feel so bad for the kid that he's playing for the Blackhawks.
Me too. He has extended his road point streak to 8 games. Longer than any rookie in Blackhawks history. And let me tell you, Chicago's been around for a while.
Yeah, so that's saying a lot. And they've had some really good players come through that organization.
They really have. Like, dude, I think he's the real deal. He's looking pretty good. That shot of his is something special.
And now that's without any type of support from, like,
Taylor Hall, Corey Perry.
That's basically it.
Well, that's basically it, yeah. Although Nick Foligno has been a decent addition. He's been playing all right for them. But, I mean, realistically speaking, there's not much on that team. They got some young guys, Kurashev coming up, Korchinski on defense. Like, they got some names coming up, but other than Bedard, it's looking thin.
I mean, we could be playing a different song for Blackhawks in about 5 years.
You know what the Canucks are going to do?
What?
They're going to clear up cap space, and then when Connor Bedard is an RFA, they are going to offer sheet him to the maximum. 15, 16 million, whatever it is.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that Bedard actually passed Daryl Sutter 7 games.
Daryl Sutter or Daryl Sittler? Daryl Sutter.
Daryl Sutter.
Not bad, not bad, not bad. Oh, yeah, Daryl Sutter 7 games in
80-81. Dang. 12 points.
Points in 8 games. Eight games. Not bad. 8 goals, 4 assists. Like I said, dude's a shooter. He's his shot. Like, it's hard for rookies to come in and score a lot of goals because the goalies are just so good. But he has taken it in stride.
He's basically, like, yeah, he's clearly the only bright spot in Blackhawks right now.
Oh, I mean, very much so.
They also have a 7-15 record, so.
But I'll tell you what, there was also a time in the Blackhawks where all they had was Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, and they were good, but then they built around them. I'm not saying these three young guys are the same, but, I mean, Bedard is really good.
They all have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Like most teams besides Vancouver, they usually will, you know, grow up, win a cup, and then they have a decline. And then they grow up, win a cup.
You know what?
Have a decline.
You know what? When's the last time the Flames were even in the cup final?
See, their deep drop off has. They're just grooming. Just let them cook.
They're just what?
They're just grooming down there. They'll come back up. Don't you worry.
The Flames?
Don't worry about it.
It's only been 20 years.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not 20 years yet.
It's close. Hey, it's already over a decade for the Canucks, so I get it. Trust me, I get it.
I know, it's so sad, isn't it?
It is. Why did we pick the terrible teams?
Because we're dumbasses.
Oh, right. I forgot.
That decided to do a podcast.
I think that's it. I think that's it for stories.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Oh, I just want to throw this in there. I know it's not the football segment, but I do just want to throw this in there. I am loving how bad the Patriots have been.
Yes, that's always a bonus. They're like 2-10.
The last week they lost 6-0. They lost. The other team got 2 field goals. It was like a hockey score.
I did not see that.
They lost 6-0, dude. It's hilarious.
Oh, I should be. I should be watching more NFL.
Yeah, there's definitely NFL stuff we can talk about for football.
But I don't like the league.
All right, well, we won't then. Thanks for tuning in.
Like, I call it that no fun league for a reason.
A lot of people do.
Because it's no fun, but when you win 6-0, that's sure.
That's hilarious.
Oh, imagine being a fan of that game.
Imagine paying money to see that game.
I would want to jump off the edge of the stadium.
Okay, well, on that note.
Everyone stay stoned, stay safe, wear your harness so you won't fall to your death.
Bye.